This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why should teams draft you?
Because I'm the best edge rusher here.
What makes you the best edge rusher?
Film.
Mulligan Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Mike Green. He is the pass rusher from Marshall with a... an interesting backstory.
A little baggage.
And a little bit. And we are delighted to welcome in Kevin Fishbane. Does a great job covering the Bears for The Athletic, covering the draft down at the Combine. And he joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Morning, Kevin. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Happy to be on with you.
Well, we appreciate your time. And a lot going on this week. It's been fun to see the I'm going to call it the Ben Johnson show, because he's on every show. He's moving through the combine deftly, interviewing with everyone, telling interesting things. The guy, you know what I love about the guy is he's not someone that just repeats the same information. He answers whatever question you ask him. And sometimes it's a different answer, not a contrary one, but just a deeper answer than he just gave to somebody else. I mean, it's almost like every time he talks, you got to hang on what he's saying.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because we were, I don't know if worried is too strong, but whenever you get one of these offensive guru types who you don't really hear press conferences from, like, our big question is, how's he going to handle all that stuff? And he's been great. I mean, you know, nothing really matters until the games begin, but he's winning everybody over, and you're right. He's giving good quotes and he's being thoughtful. And, I kind of like how confident the guy is. You know, he talks about how important it is for him to just be considered a really good football coach. That's his goal. And, you can see the confidence he has, and he should be confident. He knows that he was the number one attraction of the coaching cycle, and he knows he was paid that way. And, I'm sure Bears fans are really enjoying kind of a breath of fresh air in terms of not having to kind of decipher what he's saying. And guys, I'll be honest with you, I kind of set an unfair low bar for his first combine press conference, because those are kind of tough. We have to really shout our questions in at him, and it's his first time doing one of those. And I thought maybe he would, not like he's giving away the farm, but I thought he was good. He was much better than I expected. So credit to him for getting everybody excited, as we're only, 6-plus months away from week one.
Kevin, really good story in The Athletic this morning about Mike Green, the Marshall edge rusher who had two sexual assault allegations at Virginia, and he addressed them yesterday, and you talked about whether or not he would drop and how that will affect his draft status. Different situation, but same idea about dropping in the draft. Abdul Carter, another edge rusher at the top of the draft, could be the potential number one overall pick. News last night that he might have a stress fracture in his foot and might require surgery. How do you think those two, how far do you think those two guys will fall in their respective positions, and how surprising was the Carter news specifically?
Yeah, I mean, the Carter news took everyone by surprise, especially because we heard from him in the morning, and then, you hear that in the afternoon. And And frankly, David, I wasn't even by his podium in the morning because I'm thinking, I cover the Bears.
Right.
Like, Abdul Carter's going to be long gone by the time the Bears pick. That's going to be an interesting one because, you know, I think Bears fans probably, if you think back to a certain top 10 pick a decade ago, might have some fears about a stress fracture. And you can think about how far that, you know, how much that could impact him, or maybe he'll be just fine and they figure it out early enough. And, you know, someone who's that talented who's talked about in the regard of Carter as being a top pick, I'm not sure. And the problem is for this draft, which is, you know, kind of a problem for the Bears, is there's just not enough quarterbacks. Like, this is just not – like, if this was last year's quarterback class, you know, and the Bears already had their guy, they'd be in great shape right now. I mean, they're still in great shape. They've got 3 picks in the top 41. But it would be nice for them if Jackson Dart just has a phenomenal next month or two.
Right.
So that somebody falls in love with him. And that's going to impact Abdul Carter as well. Because, you know, if you're one of those teams at the top, would you rather a guy who is as explosive and dominant at a premium position like him, and you take the chance that he's going to be ready to go? Because if because there just aren't that many stars, there aren't many sure things from what the draft prognosticators say about this year's class.
And I don't think the Bears should be star hunting. I really believe that the first 3 picks of this draft, all those good top 41 players, they got to get line of scrimmage. They got to get the trenches. They need offensive linemen. They need defensive linemen. I think that, like, we'll have an argument about Ashton Jeanty or whomever it is. I don't think they have the luxury. I think they've got to build from within, from inside, close to the ball. And I don't think they have a choice about that. And frankly, I think they should do the same thing in free agency.
Yeah, and the thing is about the Jeanty situation is they have too many holes in the offensive line for you to say, well, if they sign these 2 guards, they'll be good to go draft Jeanty. They still need a tackle and a center. So, you know, I think that the Jeanty thing's an interesting thought exercise because you have Ben Johnson, who saw what a dynamic running back did for his offense in Detroit. You have Ryan Poles, who was part of a Super Bowl team that used running backs from wherever to be great in Kansas City. So, like, I'd be curious those conversations. But yeah, I mean, this thing, like the next 2 months for the Bears, it just has to be all about building up both lines. And I think that, you know, the one impact that we could see from free agency vis-a-vis the draft is if they do sign those, you know, 2 big name offensive linemen.
Right.
Yeah, I wonder how much that leans them toward trying to get that edge rusher with that first pick in the draft, and if they're more comfortable doing that, and then you know you have those 2 picks in the second round, and again, you know, you guys know every there's 32 different draft boards, and every draft expert has his own draft board. But if you look at some of these, you know, if you look at some of these experts, and you guys know, I mean, Dane Brugler is my colleague; he does a phenomenal job.
Oh, great.
There's a lot of really good offensive linemen he has ranked in that 30 to 45 range. So the Bears could certainly come out with a starter or 2 in round 2 as well.
Yeah, that's why everybody needs to keep an open mind because things will be changing and also depending on free agency. In your scenario, that's why I don't want to say a hard no to the idea of Jeanty on February 27th because if they do rebuild their offensive line through free agency and you're sitting there, I think Ben Johnson's voice is going to be the one that is heard the loudest in that draft room. And if he says and thinks that that's the highest guy on their board and he can do with the running back, there's some draft nicks.
But this is a running back draft. You might get a guy in the 3rd round.
But Ashton Jeanty might be a guy who's the top guy on your board. I've seen some guys where he's in the top 5 of players evaluated in this draft class. But I just don't want to say no right now.
But right now, you know what he'd be if he was drafted into this team? Tackled is the word. Because who's blocking for him?
But you ignored what I just said to begin that conversation.
I know what you're
saying. If you have the free agency address, if you address the right side of the line in free agency, you got a different mindset, Kevin, going into the draft.
No, I think you do. And look, guys, I talk a lot about this window the Bears have, and any team has. Like, these aren't 8 to 10 year windows anymore when you're drafting guys. I mean, you have to look at this if you're the Bears, that you have the next really 3 years to strike. And if Caleb Williams turns out to be a star, you obviously feel great about whatever contract you have to give him, and you make it work. And if he's a star like Josh Allen, it doesn't matter how much money he's making. You're going to continue to be competitive. That's the best case scenario. But you look at Ashton Jeanty, David, to your point, like, you're looking at this 3-4 year window, which is when Ashton Jeanty is going to be at his best. This is when he's going to be a phenomenal NFL player, you would think, in these first couple years of his career, and go ahead and strike. But, you know, that's where, you know, and Ryan Poles was asked if he preferred the flip it, where the draft comes first and free agency comes second, like we see in the NBA. And, you know, then these conversations. I always think back, guys, you know, I think it was like 10 years ago, we spent all Combine and Senior Bowl talking about linebackers. It was Vic Fangio's second year. You knew he needed linebackers for his 3-4 defense. So we're at the Combine. We're talking to all these linebackers. We're watching them do their Combine drills. Then free agency starts, and what do the Bears do? They sign Danny Trevathan and Jarrell Freeman. And that's like, okay, well, so much for all that time spent watching these linebackers and trying to figure out which one the Bears are going to take. So, you know, free agency could change everything. And in this case, yeah, if you feel really good about the offensive line, I think that opens free agency, a lot of it is how flexible can it make you in the draft? If you can sign all these guys, maybe trade for somebody, you want to really be as flexible as you can with that 10th pick to just add a really, really good player.
What would you do with the guys currently out of contract and heading to free agency? I mean, I keep telling David I'd like to see Matt Pryor brought back as a depth piece. You know, give him another one-year deal. See if the guy can fill in at guard or tack or wherever you need him. He seems like the kind of guy that can do pretty well for himself. I thought he had a good year.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that's an easy decision for the Bears. Now, I think Matt Pryor is an example of something we're seeing in the NFL now where, you know, it's for so long it was you're a starting offensive lineman or you're not. And that was how the contracts were. But I feel like Matt Pryor is kind of this middle class that is somebody who you might not sign him to be your week one starter, but you know he's probably going to start five games for you, possibly at 2 to 3 different positions. And he showed that versatility last year. And I think that could be rewarded. And you could reward that without really hurting your bank account. So, I mean, it is interesting that the Bears, I mean, it's a good thing, I guess, because the Bears don't have to worry about signing a lot of their own, that we're talking about Matt Pryor as the guy that makes the most sense of the unrestricted free agents. But you're right, Mel. I mean, he proved his worth, and he's the type of guy that, you know, you would want to bring back because he can fill in at 4 different spots on your line.
What's the most surprising thing you heard from Ben Johnson this week?
Most surprising thing? You know, I kind of thought, as I said earlier, that he was pretty open with us, and just that in itself, I thought was a little surprising. And, you know, when he talks about Caleb Williams' off-schedule stuff, and I wrote about this that day, David, when you hear coaches laud a player's off-schedule stuff for a quarterback, you kind of go, uh-oh. Like, is that his – you don't want that.
Right.
You want his best attribute to be like, oh, you know, something else. But I appreciated, you know, and I also found it surprising just because of the era we're in. The Ben Johnson goes, this is what quarterbacks do now. And it just reminded you that he's not going to make Caleb Williams something Caleb Williams is not. And he's going to come in here and say, this is something you do that very few guys on the planet can do, and I'm going to get the best out of it. And Caleb Williams could be a progression thrower in the pocket. Like, he's capable of it, but it's not necessarily where he's best. And I was interested to hear the way Ben Johnson explained that. And it was a little surprising because, again, you don't hear coaches say that very often and say it in a way that Ben Johnson did. Yeah, this guy is so good when it's off schedule. He's so good when he's creative. And if you feel good about Ben Johnson, you should feel good that he's going to, you know, take that trait and make sure it works out well for the Bears offense.
He got the Lions offense to number one in the NFL. How long does it take to do that here?
I mean, what's it been? Well, like 70 years, right? Was it 1956?
When did they first use the T formation? I'll never forget the way they thrilled the nation.
It might take a couple years. I mean, look, I keep going back to this idea, and when you talk to people around the league about Ben Johnson, one of the things they always emphasize is he's going to put these guys in good position to succeed. And you know, you hear that a lot, and it sounds obvious because it's what coaches are supposed to do. But the Bears haven't had guys who actually do it, especially on that side of the football.
Right.
So I'm very intrigued to see when he's sitting there watching Rome Odunze, when he's watching DJ Moore, when he's watching Cole Kmet, who we all know was underutilized last year, or when he's watching whatever other tight end he wants to bring in, like all these different things. If it's an Ashton Jeanke, if it's a Caleb Johnson, like you just feel good that this guy is going to create an offense that is going to look a lot better than anything we've seen in the city in a while. And so, you know, I still want to give it a few years because it's, as I said, right now they're at once every three quarters of a century. So we've got, so it might be a bit.
Great stuff, Kevin.
Great stuff, Kevin. Thanks.
All right, take care, guys.
That is Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic. That is great stuff. I really enjoyed that conversation. I'm-